Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m., September 26, 2015, and it's 6:30 on the East Coast, just to make that clear. And I would like to welcome everyone that's with us tonight. Some of you are new. Some of you have been listening for a long time. What we do on this show is speak about the basic principles of this very ancient spiritual teaching, why people are interested in this teaching, what it brings to them, how it enhances their life. I'm the host. Our guest on the show every week is Sri Kadavji. And Sri Kadavji is the Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the show. And with my introduction, I wonder if we might start out talking a little bit about why someone would want to get on the path of ACTA. What exactly does ACTA bring to an individual in their life?
Well, the idea of the path being public to the people who are already souls is to give them the opportunity of spiritual life, liberation in this lifetime and or the next. So that right away precludes the fact of karma and reincarnation, at least reincarnation by the statement. And that's important to understand that in one's lifetime, they need to learn about their essence as soul. And that's what ACTA brings to the individual, so they can learn about what we talk about in the ancient science of Sahaji, excuse me, the idea of Sahaji being that movement of the essence that we're talking about, what the man and woman is in their at their origin of their being. When they learn about that and know it as the light and sound that we call Sarosha and Akacha, which is the origin of the word spirit, that we call it Sarosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A, which is a higher Sanskrit term. And any of these foreign words that we use are used because they have a higher vibration. And having said all that, this whole idea of learning about the essence of ourselves as soul, once we learn that it is a sound current, then we put our attention upon it, or in one sense of the word, we put our attention upon it, but we really are the attention. And we learn that our individuality as soul is the I am soul and not that I have a soul. So the attention is really the essence of soul. And then when we hear the sound current, when the dust clears, it's an experience of the sound current. So we can actually hear like a high electrical signal within us, like a ringing in the ear on the inside. And then when we hear this sound current, then we learn to travel on it back to the liberation point of the fifth plane. So when we understand that ACTA is an experiential path, it's a path of experience. When one hears a sound current, that's the experience of soul. And again, we move on that sound current to spiritual liberation. So that's really ACTA in a nutshell, is that we are taught when we're young in the present time, which is the Iron Age, we're not taught about what we are in this essence. People are told they have a soul and a mind, and usually religions will combine these two facets. This mind and soul are usually considered one and the same. But in ACTA, we make a definite distinction that there are three elements to the body structure. We have the physical body, you have a mind, and you have the essence of soul, this light and sound within us. So this is very important because all the religions don't make that distinction. And when they do, they're not clear like we are on the path of Avatar to make these distinctions valuable to the individual. Meaning the value is that when we hear the sound current again, we listen to it and we become it because we are that. We stop identifying with the mind and physical body as the essence. Because most people think if you're in a physical body, then you're a physical body. And they don't realize that this essence of soul is the eternal part and not the physical part that passes away, that is not eternal. The physical body is not eternal. I know some religions would try to say that the physical body is going to live forever and all that business, but it's pretty silly because we know that the physical body passes away. And then there are some physicists that are studying the fact of eternal life physically, which is ludicrous because we know that there are, in Agatha, they talk about destruction times when there is no physical reality. And that can be proven by the evanescence of physics in terms of life and death of plants and animals. We see this happen all the time. So it's really ridiculous to get involved with that longevity discussion of eternity in physical life. So we don't even have to bother with that if we know that our essence of soul is the idea of liberation. See, that's the focus that we need to bring when we're talking about Akatsa as the ancient science of Sahaji, is the science of movement, the inner movement, that we suggest people learn to do in a daily practice of contemplation, which looks like meditation. That's why we call it meditation light, but we don't put a lot of emphasis on that because the word meditation is considered Eastern philosophy. And there's a lot of that going around the world today. Buddhism is making a lot of inroads into supplementing that with people because a lot of people that do meditation don't realize they're really part of Buddhism or Hinduism, who teach the meditation. And there are other Asian and Eastern philosophy that teach meditation. But we don't teach meditation actually. We teach contemplation, which is another distinction that's extremely important. When we contemplate, we don't meditate. We consider meditation a misinterpretation of contemplation. And the higher Sanskrit word for contemplation, which is the direct English interpretation, would be svasada, S-V-A-S-H-E-A. But we don't want to put a lot of the higher Sanskrit terms in the introduction. It will confuse people in terms of bridging it with the English that we're talking about tonight. But you can see that svasada is the direct English interpretation is contemplation, not meditation. So then when we talk about meditation, now it's just a misinterpretation. Because when people meditate, they will not get liberation on the inside. We're talking about the inside power of the individual, which is the most important part of the path of Akatsa, because the teaching is an inner path made manifest or made public periodically, which it's not always public because of the power issues in the lower worlds. We're talking about the negative and positive forces. And there's a lot of negative forces in the Iron Age today because that's the nature of the Kalinuranjan during this particular time. Now, we have the four lower worlds, which perhaps you'd like to speak about, Leslie. Could you do that? Thank you.
Yes, can you repeat that question? I apologize, but I had a tone come through on my phone right at the same time you were asking that question. So it's just a technical thing. So you were asked, what was the question that you were asking me?
No, I said, if you'd like to speak about the lower worlds that we...
Oh, sure.
Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go ahead.
First of all, yeah, I'd like to go over the distinction between the lower and the higher worlds, even though we've done it many times before. But the lower worlds is, and let's just say this, and when spirit, or what's called Sarosha, flows from the Godhead. It's pure, positive spirit. But then when it comes down to the soul plane, underneath the soul plane, there are what we call the lower worlds, where spirit splits into two streams, dual streams, positive and negative. And so let's start from the bottom and we'll go up, because at the very bottom of the lower world is the physical plane. And that's where we exist, obviously, right now. And here there is both positive and negative, but because it's the lowest part of the lower worlds, it's more negativity than positivity. And so that's why one of the reasons why it's so difficult here and in the physical plane. It's also a perfect training ground for soul to learn, to have experiences and learn how to go further and to go further on the journey to the higher planes. So right above the soul plane, we have what's called the astral plane. The astral plane, and each of these planes, by the way, sort of has a color and the atmosphere. You can tell where you are when you're traveling on the inner. The soul plane, some parts it looks a deep, deep rose, even reddish color. Other parts it's a pale pink. It just depends where you are. But the astral plane has it's the source of the psychic phenomenon of emotions. When psychics are telling you things about your future, they're really working off the astral plane. They're not working off of one of the higher planes. Therefore, the information that they can be giving you can be incorrect, because they're not giving a complete overview, which has to be done from the soul plane or above. Now, above the psychic plane, there is the causal plane. The color here is sort of an ochre color, mustard color, and it's here where we can go to the Akashic records and look at our past lives. So many people don't realize that when they're looking at their past lives, they're traveling to the causal plane. And then each of these planes also has a sound. So when people chant the word Om, A-U-M, they're actually putting their attention on the causal plane. And that's as high as you can go with that chant. That's why we don't use that chant. And later on during this talk, I will explain what we do use to chant. So above the causal plane, then you enter the mental world, okay? But the mental world has a main part and then another plane above it that is included with the mental plane. So the mental plane, you can see the color blue, and that's actually why the sky is blue, because there's so many thoughts that people are thinking all the time. It actually makes the sky blue, even though I'm sure that that science would come up with some scientific explanation for that. That's the true reason why it's blue. And not in the mental plane, it's really the source of religions, religious teachings, philosophies. When people are dwelling in those realms, they're really dwelling on the mental plane. When people are talking about ethics, morality, religion, that all combines together. Now, just the brain is the etheric plane. It's considered the top of the mental plane, and it has more of a lavender color. It's the last plane, the highest plane of the lower worlds, just before you get into the higher worlds. And as well, you might hear a sound of buzzing in bees, but it's the source of the unconscious. And after that, once you get through that, then you get into the higher world. Srikant, did you want to add anything to that? Because I didn't want to take
yes,
too much time.
Yes, we were talking about the colors, and the colors actually are the physiological body that is adjacent, the astral body, the physical body, the astral body, causal body, mental body. They actually give off the exhaust from the body, which are those colors. So when you were talking about the mental, the thinking, that's the exhaust from thinking. So it's the friction, the heat that causes the color. See, so that's an interesting physics part of the lower worlds, that all the colors are based in distinctive colors, and the dynamic between white and black, with all the colors in between, are the vibrations, and the exhaust of those vibrations create all that. So that's what we learn in Hakuten, is to get beyond all that and light and sound. Light would be pure white light, or, you know, there's an irony in all that. And if we stay simple, then we're listening to the sound current. And then if we see the light, we're actually seeing the sound. And if we see the, if we hear the light, we're actually hearing, if we hear the sound, we're actually hearing the light. So it's the twin aspects of the Sarosha, which is very important to learn, because the simplicity of it is when you hear the sound current, you don't have to be concerned too much with the rationale of all of it. See what I mean? Then you're above it in the soul plane, in more of an ingenuous state, like a childlike state, because you're seeing above in the essence. So that's the whole idea, is that people that come to the path of Akita learn to simplify their life, and they can feel the essence, and this, the feeling of it causes the sound current, the spinning of soul, and then we become that spinning of soul and move into the higher planes. And we're doing it anyway, but Akita explains it and then allows someone to have the experience when we point to and we can say and talk about the sound current. Then when you experience it, that's the allowance of or learning of the information, and you actually experience it. So it's very important that we present this teaching to the ready souls who are yearning to connect with the information. When they, it's like the enlightenment, like some of those regression therapies do the aha business, but all the aha is when you're going to reveal the secret chant or the huge chant, which is a higher chant than the Om, the O-M or the A-U-M. The Beatles wrote that song, and Never Gonna Change My World, and they had Jai Guru Diva Om, and they had Om at the end of it. That's just a mental gymnastics mantra that gets you to a high mental plane, which is not terrible, but it doesn't get you liberated in the fifth dimension. In other words, that's just going to get you more incarnations. So that the idea is for one to step onto the path, ready soul, and by doing the daily contemplation exercise, the 30-minute exercise that we recommend to the students, then they get all this wisdom by traveling within on a daily basis, and then they realize that they can gain liberation and they don't have to come back into the lower worlds, because the king of the lower planes is the Kalanaranjan. He's the overlord that controls these lower planes, and that's why you see all these religions and Buddhism and people trying to spread peace and meditation and all these wonderful things, or the rehashment of the golden rule, do unto others as they would do unto you. That's very positive. There's nothing wrong with that. But it makes for good social behavior, but it doesn't give you liberation in spirit. It doesn't work that way, because it's not in that information, is not there. See, meditation, love, and all these things, there's nothing wrong with it because it's goodness, but goodness will get you more good lifetimes. And then there's a tendency, a threat, or you would say a seduction by the negative side in each one of those lifetimes to go negative. You see what I mean? So there's an irony in good and evil insofar as there's a neutral point. And even in physics, the first periodic table element is hydrogen. They teach it only has two elements. And I'm always used to say, where's the neutron? You know, if you have electron or proton, you got positive and negative, but you have to have neutron to create the glue between the two. And so the neutron is what opposites have in common. That's what Akita is equilibrium. See, it all works in the facets of neutrality. But neutrality, when you try to do neutrality, there's an irony in that, you're going to be negative. That's why most people, especially in America, are negative, because they're trying to be neutral. They're trying to neither be positive or negative. And in that effort to be neutral, they're negative. They don't outflow. They don't know how to do it. Everybody's introverting on their phones and not paying attention to their neighbor. They can't outflow because they get beat up so badly and they're in pain. But you see, our responsibility as Akitists aren't to go around saying you're miserable and you're miserable and you're miserable. The whole idea is to find the ready soul, and then by virtue of your daily contemplations and your attention upon spirit, you raise your state of vibrations and everything is pulled up with you. You don't have to race around and drag everybody in by the collar to try to get them active. That's not what it's about. It's about outflow and attempting to be a good neighbor, or the golden rule, if you will, but in practice, not teaching it as a moral code. We don't set up a morality play here in ACOTA. We just teach about the sound current, which is so very simple, isn't it, Leslie? The sound current is so easy, and it's ironic that nobody gets it. We have this wonderful wisdom. We make a joke about only 1 out of 100 get it. The other 99 think it's some sort of sorcery or silliness. And I'm always saying, well, it's really funny, because fear is right at the threshold. Fear, people react to fear right away, because when something's different, right away there's a reaction to it. You know, the aliens land and they have rifles after them.
Speaking of the sound current, if I might, could I talk a little bit about the contemplation? And
sure, if you take
the word,
us through one too, that would be nice.
Sure, I'd be happy. Because I mentioned earlier, and you also mentioned about the Om and how that's not going to get you very far, and it's certainly not going to get you to the first goal of ACOTA, which is self-realization. And that's just the first goal, because there's also God realization and spiritual mastery. So if you're chanting Om, you're going to lock yourself into the lower worlds. So what we use is the word hue, because hue comes from the 10th plane, and it's a very, very high vibrational word, and the 10th plane is where one achieves spiritual mastery. But we use the hue because it really completely obliterates any kind of negativity that's happening. It just comes in, and it is pure positive spirit. So hue actually is another name for God, as I mentioned before. So what we do is a contemplation technique. We do this for 30 minutes every day. And it's not required, but it's definitely, it's highly recommended if one wants to propel their spiritual unfoldment. So what we do is find a quiet place and use earplugs if we must, because extraneous noise will disrupt the attention, and we want to put as much attention as possible on the inner here. So we're going to sit comfortably with our legs crossed in Indian fashion, or they can be, the feet can be flat on the floor. Just be very comfortable and quiet place. We're going to relax, hold our hands in our lap, and put our attention on the third eye, what's also known as the tis or til, that spot between the eyebrows just above the bridge of the nose. And that's one of the higher chakras, which is why we put our attention there. So then after a couple of deep breaths, what we're going to do is chant the word hue that I just mentioned. And it sounds like this. Do that for a few moments, or we can do it longer, whatever feels comfortable to us. And after you finish chanting the word here, we continue with our attention on the tis or til in a gentle manner, not to be forced in any way. And then there's many different experiences that we can have. As soon as we close our eyes, we are automatically in a sahaja experience. But you can also have different types of sahaja experiences where it's a very vivid out-of-the-body movement. As well, you might be seeing the light, a white light or a yellowish-white light, which is spirit. You might be seeing a brilliant blue light, which is the light of the Mahaji. And that's a very good thing. He's there to guide you. He won't interfere, but if you accept his guidance, he'll help you with on your way to spiritual unfoldment. You might also hear a sound. So as Srikanthji mentioned earlier, it could be a high electrical sound, or it can also be one of the sounds on the inner planes. So So as I mentioned earlier, I don't think I took you through all the different sounds on the inner planes, but there are different sounds because in actuality on the physical planes, the sound of spirit is thunder, and people don't realize that. And there's a sound for every plane, but on the fifth plane, the soul plane, the sound is a single note of a flute. On the eighth plane, where we achieve God realization, the sound is 1,000 violins. On the tenth plane, I spoke to you about the word being you. It's a whirlpool type sound. So this is just, it's not giving you all the details, but you can also get more information on this on our website. You can check on our website and you can download the introductory book for free because in the introductory book, I believe it's chapter 3, there is a copy of there's a diagram of the worlds, of the lower worlds, the higher worlds, and it talks about the words that are associated, the colors, the sounds, and there's a lot of good information there. And that's free if you're interested, as well as everything else that we do is free. Even membership is free. Sri Kanishi, I'll turn this over to you. We've got about 3.5 minutes left.
Well, you had mentioned that graphic chart. We call that the God Worlds chart of Sirosha, the Acts of God Worlds chart, what have you. But it does display graphically, you can see it, that these planes we're talking about, which is really good to be able to see it because then you identify it with a map, basically. You can see the map of the inner worlds. And we realize it's a general map, and it's not necessarily definitive in all the departments, but you can see how putting all that attention on the physical plane, how much you get pulled away your attention from a liberation point. So that's one of the reasons why there isn't a tremendous amount of elaboration in these lower worlds, because you can fixate your attention on it for a long, long time. So the whole idea is to get to the soul plane, which is that fifth region we're talking about. And then, ironically, when one hears a sound current, this inner sound current, they're really coming from their essence of soul. So when we talk this evening, we talk to the essence of soul in each one of the individuals. So there's an upliftment vibration when one hears a sound current. Usually it's an ecstasy that one will experience in terms of that ecstatic relationship with their own self. So that's the idea, is to experience this essence and to know it exists, and that it becomes a wonderful realization, even initially, to hear the sound current. The sound current, there are initiations that we give on each one of the planes, but interestingly enough, there's sort of a mini initiation when one hears that sound current for the first time, and it is a very special experience. And it is an individual one, and not necessarily where you run out to your neighbor and say, "Oh, I heard the sound current," because they're probably not going to understand. And that becomes an issue, one of the issues of when people have spiritual experiences and they want to tell somebody about it, they can tell a fellow acatist or even the people that are not on the path and have out-of-body experiences. We know how much everyone makes fun of that in the marketplace of the OBE, and they downgrade or they become condescending about the whole thing. Well, that's the idea, the persecution of the acatist, because especially during the Iron Age, we're probably getting down to the last few seconds.
Yeah, we've got less than a minute. I apologize for interrupting, but I did want to just briefly mention that if anyone's going to be in the Philadelphia area on Tuesday, October 20th, you're welcome to come to hear Sri Kanishi speak at the Philadelphia Central Library at 6:30 p.m. And that is at 1900 Vine Street in Philadelphia. So feel free to come to that at no charge. If you'd like to meet Sri Kanishi and in person, we welcome you there. And please take a look at the website. Feel free to go through the archives of the Blog Talk Radio shows. There's hundreds of shows that we've done. Sri Kanuki, I appreciate everyone being here, but I'd like to turn it over to you for a final adieu.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad.